Father, I want to add my own thanks to the voice of others. Thanks to you, O Lord, for all the way in which you have led us. And not only for this last 25 years or so, but we think more, something like 125 years of the work that you have done through people who handed the baton one on to another, continued to pray for this city and to work with other Christians, and we thank you that they passed on to us an inheritance. They passed on, O Lord, their prayers. They passed on real estate and opportunity. And here we are today, having benefited from all of that, and we acknowledge it with thanksgiving today. And our prayer is that you would strengthen us, that we might become a greater and a better people, and that our work will be very fruitful, our lives fruitful. We look to the heavens today and ask that grace would be upon us as a people. We recognize we are not alone, the people of God, in this city or this region. We are part of something much greater, the total of which only your eyes really recognize. But we acknowledge you have many people, but you've called us to stand and to pray and to believe and to love and to serve and to give and to go, and we choose afresh to do these things. I ask that today the Holy Spirit would come upon us as a people, and that you would anoint us afresh to live for Christ and to serve in accordance with the will of God. Strengthen us and make us fruitful for your own name's sake, we pray. Thank you that you hear our prayers. Thank you that you receive our offerings. I bless that offering. I pray you'd bless the givers. And now today, may we somehow, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, be enriched, be added to. This is our prayer, and we believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I've got 10 minutes to share with you some reflections. After which we'll pray a few prayers together and then have our party. When I wrote this book, this was the first of the books I wrote, called The Apostolic Revelation. When I wrote the book, I put in the front of it, right here, books usually have a dedication page. Authors often dedicate that to their, someone who's inspired them, or to their wife or their family. I haven't seen too many dedicated to mother-in-laws, but there probably are, you know, the old joke. But perhaps one day, Noreen, you know, you get one. But and I didn't want to sound corny, and I didn't do it to be religious, but when I dedicated this book, I just felt there was no one else to dedicate it to but Christ. Everything in the book he gave me, and it was to bring about his purpose. Now, I'm not saying all that to draw attention to that so much as to the scripture that's under it. I want to put the scripture on the screen, and it comes from the Song of Moses in Exodus 15. Two verses out of his song, I mean his song takes up nearly a whole long chapter, but two verses I want you to look at. Here's the first of those two, 13, and the other one will be 17. And Moses in his song sang, "In your unfailing love you will lead the people you've redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling." Now who would like to be guided to the dwelling of God, to the place he built for himself? And the second verse, You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance. Now in the Bible, sometimes it talks about his house, and sometimes it talks about his mountain, and sometimes it talks about his city. It's the same thing. You'll plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling. It gives it away right there. The sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. In fact, the Bible says that Abraham, our father in the faith, who was happy to live in tents because he was looking for the city that God had made without human hands. The builder and the architect was God. So here in Moses' song, he refers to it. Now, the reason I'm telling you about this, I put this right here at the front of the book for a good reason. For me, it was all to do with the fact that our journey, the pilgrimage, we're on a pilgrimage to the city of God. Something unusual happened to me in about the year 1998. In the church, we had had some very serious trouble arise, and some people who, a minority, who opposed the rest of us, but opposed the direction the church was going in, and the leaders in particular. So we went through a difficult period of some 18 months before all of that was settled, decisions were made, some people left us. As far as we were concerned, you know, there was no hard feeling, and we've continued to love and care about those people ever since. But all I'm saying is we had a difficult period. But in that difficult period, something happened to me that highlighted this concept, this verse. And here's what it was. I was sitting at home in my office, out in the bush, where when you look out the windows, there's just grass to see and trees. And I said to the Lord this day, because I was burdened with all this trouble, and I said, Lord, where is all this leading us? And he said, quick as a flash, to the city of God. And then, before my eyes, something happened. I look up, and here, straight out, I see this eagle flying, but it was very low to the ground. Because my office at home, there's a veranda, so there's a low roof. You can't see up in the sky. All you can see is that little bit out there. And here's this eagle flying in a circle just over my fence. And he went round in this circle and a bit higher, another one, and he disappeared. And he was so close, and I thought, this is really strange. So I stepped out the door, went to the edge of the veranda, thinking that, having done a couple of circles, he would now be here. But as I looked, whoa, he was up here. And he kept flying these circles. Now, the circle that he was flying is no wider than this room here, just this bit here. And he never moved a wing. He never flapped. Just got his wings like this. And he's going around in the circles. Now, if you know anything about aerodynamics, he's obviously got one feather up, one feather down, you know, around he's going. And he's doing these little circles, but astound me that he's going up like that. And then, as I'm watching, he gets to 1,000 feet, and all of a sudden, without moving a wing, obviously he shifted his feathers, he just went in a straight line. Maintained altitude all the way, heading for far distant mountains. And I watched him as far as I could see until he's just a little black dot. He disappears against the far mountain. He's just going in a dead straight line. And because I had been saying to the Lord, Lord, it feels to me like we're just going around in circles. But having this vision, I realized what the Lord was saying was, no, you're gaining altitude, and I'm taking you to the mountain of the Lord. So this stuff speaks, right? So I had all this experience in 98 or early, late 97. And so it was very much in my mind, this idea that we are on a pilgrimage to the city of God. And very much in my heart was this, when we went through that trouble, and your identity is challenged, and whether you should be here is challenged, we took that to the Lord. Hazel and I used to pray every night, late. We'd often pray till 11 or 12 or sometimes 1 or 2, just waiting on God, praying our way through those troubles. And what you do, if you walk with God, you always come to these occasions where you empty yourself and you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to lose everything. I'm willing for you to take it all away. I put it all back in your hands. It's all yours. You can take away everything or you can give it back, whatever you wish. And so we have on a number of occasions, but especially on that occasion, told the Lord if he wanted to take everything from us, including our home, our place, our position, it was all fine. We were his and he could do with us whatever he wished. But he gave it all back. But my sense of it was, at the time, by the way, I was offered other jobs. In fact, I was offered a position in New South Wales as head of a mission. No point going into all of that. But I didn't feel we were meant to do anything different. But still, I put it all before the Lord. And he confirmed we're meant to stay put. But my inner sense at that time, and I'm pretty sure at that time I said this to people like Shirley and Tricia, but my feeling was, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to lead you to the mountain of God. That's what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to lead you to the mountain of God. So that brings up for me this question. Did we get there? Or have we made some progress toward this mountain of God? And so on. Well, here's my thought. We came out of that trouble in 98 and then had 2 or 3 years. This is the interesting bit. We had 2 or 3 years that were really quiet around here. It was so sweet. You know, we'd sing, we were together, we'd pray. It was so sweet, but we didn't seem to be very significant people. In fact, that was part of it. The Lord was putting us through that period. But the one thing we did do in that period was we had a lot of fellowship with one another and a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer retreats. In fact, that was the period in which we launched the Watch Friday night. We had 80 people on Friday nights who would pray, and we did pray and worship from 7:30 to midnight every Friday night. Went on a long time, several years. And lots of other prayer. And every morning at 9 o'clock, we met for prayer, a whole group of us, every single morning, like Monday to Friday, pouring our hearts into prayer. And guess what? Within 2 or 3 years, huge breakthroughs. Got breakthroughs in the spirit realm, started to get revelations of God, started to have experiences of God in the church, started to get information. And Chuck came, we got breakthroughs in family camp, breakthroughs at the summit, we got breakthroughs on Sundays, and we discovered all this teaching of sonship, of community. We started to send out teams. It is since then, never before, but it is since then that our teams have gone all over Australia and all over the world teaching the stuff we teach. Just us, you know, little old us. And yet we've been to what, 30 nations, 40 nations, everywhere we go. What opens up for us is the responsibility of teaching pastors. Astounding. But all the while we discovered this sonship, these heart relationships. You know, did we find the city of God? We found something. We were brought into something that's good enough that people all over the world want to hear us talk about it. So all that is good. So what I'm saying is, in one sense, we did make a journey and find the city of God. But in another sense, we're still on this pilgrimage. Now, if we were to find more of the city of God, what would it look like? It might be that the whole church was very prayerful all the time. It might be that there were many more healings and there was much power for healing and miracles. Of course, we've had times of all these things, but maybe if we found more of the city of God, it would be regional transformation, revival through the whole area. Maybe if we found the city of God, it would be all the youth coming alive and just pursuing Christ with a whole heart, a new heart. Maybe if we found the city of God in a greater way, it would be that whenever we met, there was just huge grace on the meetings. Now, if I was to pick one, if I was to pick one of these things, now you could probably write a list with a dozen more. If I was to pick one, what I would like to see, because I'd like to see them all. But if I was to pick one that I think, man, it might be the key, it would go a bit like this. If I could have my heart's desire, it would be for great grace to be upon the lives of all of our people, great grace on our meetings, but with that great grace, fear, holy fear, great fear of God. Because you never get great grace without great fear. But please bear in mind, when I say great fear, I mean something that's really so holy, it's astounding. It takes your breath away. The presence of God, so astounding, and it's so beautiful, you never want it to leave you. If I was to pick one, I'd pick that, because I think it embodies all the others. So here's what I want to say to you, my 10 minutes being up. Do you think we could have a compact? What's that? It's simply an underlying heart agreement based in what we know to be good and true and out of which we live. Do you think we could have a compact that is an agreement that there's something we're still seeking, and seek it, so that all of you, in all your prayers, seek this thing. Seek the Lord for grace on the lives of our people, grace on our meetings, with holy fear. I close with this scripture. We'll put it on the board. We talked of it 2 Sundays ago, on the first day of spring. You'll remember it. Most of you were here. You'll remember this scripture. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle dove is in the land. The fig tree putteth forth her figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. I must be reading the King James. This is a bit different. Remember 2 Sundays ago we said winter is past, spring is here. What I want you to look at right now in closing is this last sentence. Arise, come, my darling. My beautiful one, come with me. Who do you think said that? In the Song of Songs, the king is saying it to his bride. Solomon said it to Shulamane in this song. What's it mean for us? The Lord Jesus is speaking to you. Could I suggest that if you want winter to be over and spring to be here for you personally, in the heart you respond to this invitation. Come, arise, come with me. What you'll find is that right now there is a grace present upon you all. There is a grace on your home and on your heart. So whether you're sitting here or whether you're sitting at home, there is a grace present for you to renew your prayer life and to renew your devotion for the Lord. But I'm going to give you one little key. If you want stuff to happen in your prayer time, if you want suddenly to move from that place where you feel at sixes and sevens to the place where you feel, oh, there's some momentum, this is sweet, there is a key. and it is confession. And it might sound a negative, but actually it turns out to be a positive. There is nothing more helpful than sitting alone with the Lord and actually just honestly confessing your faults and your failures and your sins. And if you'll do this, if you'll take some time, maybe every time you pray for the next week or two, take time to say, Lord, I recognize my sin. I acknowledge it to you. I confess it. I ask your forgiveness. If you will do this, you'll find at the moment there is such a grace for cleansing and renewal, and some sweetness will reappear in your sense of being alive and walking with God. That's this invitation. Arise, come, my darling. Come away with me. And if you all do that, winter will be over. And you'll hear the sound of turtle doves in the land. That's what it says. Will you hear doves? No, probably not. No, you're going to hear something else. You're going to know the touch of God, which is what it's all about. Okay, let's pray with me. Let's have some prayers together. I wonder whether in your own heart of hearts, right where you're seated, why don't you begin this renewal process? Everybody in the house, quietly, just where you're seated, I want you to take a couple of minutes for personal prayer, private prayer. I want you to express to the Lord your desire for Him and then make your confessions. Confess your sins and weaknesses and failures and faults and let Him wash you. Let a cleansing come this morning. Now let us believe for the renewal of our first love. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we learn to love you because you loved us first. And I ask that you would restore in me and in all your people that true love, that first love that we found when we came to faith that made us so alive. I thank you for the restoration of grace to this your people today. And I thank you that in the coming days, all kinds of good things will open to us because we will at last become a listening and a sensitive people, a responsive people. And this is my prayer, that you'd grant us this grace to know your touch and to respond to you. I ask, O Lord, that you would renew your grace upon this church and that you would empower the very life of this church, that we might find all the believers empowered in winning souls, in healing the sick, in bearing the Christ light and being the city set on a hill in this community. So I bless these dear ones today, these brothers and sisters. I lift them up to you, and all our young people I lift up to you. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our young people. We thank you for our young families. We thank you, Lord, for the elderly, everyone in between. We give thanks to God. And I thank you, Lord, that every one of these will be fruitful, living a joyful life filled with faith. I bless them in Jesus' name. And may the Lord favor his people. we praise God. Amen.